Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. We have made it to Friday. I hope that you are having a great week, as this is a special edition of the Sports Beat, as I am live from New York, and I am excited to give you a condensed show. We have got a lot to talk about. I'll save that for next week when I do my master show. But we got women's Final Four. We've got opening day for the Atlanta Braves. The River Dragons are in action this weekend against the Zydeco. High school baseball. Everything that you want to hear. And I'm glad that you're able to join me here on the show. Just a reminder, you are listening to us on Noonan Zone, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key. And let's get the show started. So, I have been on vacation. It's my kid's spring break. Most of you who are used to listening to my show 5 days a week, you got some best of shows, some really outstanding content. I did a show on Monday, just recapping everything that was going on in the weekend. And then Monday night, we had a little basketball game that I think is going to change the entire landscape of women's college basketball. This was the first women's college basketball game that I watched from start to finish. I've never done this in my lifetime. Iowa, LSU, it drew 14 million people that came to the TV and watched this game. And that is the power of superstars, because they had superstars on both sides. You have Angel Reese, Felice Johnson, you have Haley Van Lith, all for LSU. They were center stage in Albany. And you also have Caitlin Clark. And I really can't name anybody else in Iowa, but Caitlin Clark is absolutely amazing. As I watched Caitlin Clark, I realized that she is now the face of women's basketball. She's not necessarily the greatest basketball player of all time, because, you know, you cannot leave out players like Teresa Edwards or Cheryl Swoops or Deanna Taurasi. But Caitlin Clark is going to make an impact in the WNBA. She has NBA range shooting capabilities. She shoots the ball like Steph Curry. And even though this was a very close competitive game in that first half, when she kept raining those threes and pulling away, it seemed like Iowa was getting easy looks. I think the injury to Angel Reese kind of hurt LSU. And Iowa, I'm not going to say they got their revenge on LSU, but the one reason why that there were so many people that watched this game, because the way that the championship game ended last year with Angel Reese trash-talking Caitlin Clark, we all wanted to see the rematch. And I am very disappointed that this was an Elite Eight game and not the Final Four or the championship game. The people that created the bracket should be ashamed of themselves. Iowa was the number one seed. They were favored. They did move on. And now tonight, they will take on a historic women's program. This is a matchup between Caitlin Clark going up against UConn. Gino Auriemma, who has 11 championships. UConn was the gold standard when it comes to women's college basketball. It's also the home of the Columbus Blue Devils, Katana Swainer. I mean, UConn had Maya Moore, one of the greatest Georgia-born basketball players ever. I mean, compared to Teresa Edwards, I mean, Maya Moore is up there. But you've got to respect the game, that women's college basketball is on the uprise and more viewers are watching it. And for the first time, I'm actually more interested in the women's game than the men's game. It's a turnstile for men's college basketball. You have too many one-and-done players. In women's college basketball, you have continuity. You have familiarity. Everybody wants to come back, although I think LSU next year is going to be gutted. Haley Van Lith has entered the transfer portal. You got Angel Reese declaring for the WNBA draft. Flaje Johnson's really going to be the only person remaining. And Kim Mulkey is a very polarizing head coach. I mean, I would have loved to have seen that matchup between Kim Mulkey and Gino Auriemma, but now you get Caitlin Clark going up against a team that she said that she wanted to play for. I mean, every little girl's dream, if they play basketball, and by the way, my daughter is pretty tall for her age. I've been trying to get her to play basketball. I don't know if it's going to happen. They want to go play for UConn. Or if you live in Columbus, you want to go play for Coach Hauser at Columbus State. I mean, there is great women's basketball, and really it starts in Columbus. I think that the level of play in high school girls basketball is absolutely fascinating with what Hardaway did, with Glenwood winning a state championship. I love basketball, and I think that we are going to have some players, especially a player like Jabria Lindsay, go play at the next level and eventually play in the WNBA. But now the tide has changed. What Dawn Staley is doing at South Carolina. South Carolina, which is closer to the South, so players like Jabria Lindsay could probably play close to home and go play for Dawn Staley at South Carolina. UConn is not as dominant as they were in the early 2000s. With Diana Taurasi, Swin Cash, Sue Bird, Tina Charles, Breonna Stewart. That was a factory of great WNBA players. And that is just not the case. I mean, there's too much talent going around, and Caitlin Clark is the prime example. And I can't wait for this game. This is actually going to be the 9 o'clock game. You got NC State and South Carolina that's going to play first. The Final Four in Cleveland. Women's Final Four. Don't forget that the men's Final Four starts tomorrow in Phoenix as you got UConn and Alabama. By the way, they're going to have a watch party at Coleman Coliseum. And Alabama is considered a local team. A big shout out to Tony Reese and Jonathan Hoppe, WTVM. They're making that trip to Phoenix to cover Alabama in the Final Four. I'm excited for the fan base for Alabama, but they're taking on a juggernaut. The 5-time national champions, the UConn Huskies, they have been the best team all year. I think UConn is going to be the favorite to go back-to-back. First time since the Florida Gators when they went back-to-back in 06 and 07. And then later, you got Purdue and NC State. First Final Four appearance for NC State since 1983 when they won it all under legendary coach Jimmy V and the Derek Wittenberg shot to Lorenzo Charles. Looked like it was a nice pass, but NC State beating Fly Slammajama in 1983. I'm a big sports historian. I love sports upsets, and I have these VHS tapes that, you know, I don't have them anymore, but these VHS tapes that I got when I was a kid for getting a Sports Illustrated subscription, I would just sit there and I would just watch them, and great sports moments, and that's what NC State was doing, and they even had a 30 for 30 Survive in Advance. I'm a big sports documentary guy. I think NC State, DJ Burns, you're going up against Zach Edey. You got NC State, both men and women's team in the Final Four. You got the UConn men and women's team in the Final Four. That's never happened in the history of sports. It's going to be great. I mean, we got a great sports weekend. We got WrestleMania. We got the Braves home opener tonight. Everything that you want in the week building up to the Masters that's going to be next week, and living in Georgia, and I was talking to some people in New York, and we were talking about, you know, what Georgia has to offer. There's no brainer right there. It's the Masters. It's really putting Georgia on the map to have the Masters at the Augusta National Club. And, you know, talking to some New York fans, you know, it's been a great time just being up here in seeing what the Yankees are doing. I mean, they got their home opener tonight at Yankee Stadium. The Mets played a doubleheader against the Tigers yesterday at Citi Field. The Knicks were playing the Sacramento Kings last night. They ended up winning that game. Oh, you know what? That's a good segue. to talk about the NBA. Because the Atlanta Hawks, it looks like they're going to get the play-in game and they're going to face the Chicago Bulls. Now, whether or not that game's going to be played at State Farm Arena or at the United Center, that's going to be beyond whatever they do to wrap up the regular season. They lose to the Dallas Mavericks 109-95. And, you know, Kyrie and Luka were just absolutely amazing. I think every time the Hawks play them, they feel that trade being the weight of the world with Luka and Kyrie. Now, he didn't score like 73 like he did before, but it was balanced scoring, and the Dallas Mavericks could be a sleeper team going into the playoffs. The 76ers have Joel Embiid back. They defeated the Miami Heat 109-105. And you also have the Golden State Warriors, who I think they're going to get the play-in game as they defeat the Houston Rockets 133-110. Are they turning the switch? And the game of the night was the Clippers and the Nuggets. I think this could be a preview of the Western Conference Finals as the Nuggets fall to the Clippers 102-100. So here's what I think is going to happen in the NBA playoffs. The Boston Celtics are going to get the number one seed in the East, followed by Milwaukee, the number two seed. Cleveland is going to get the number three seed. Orlando and New York, they're going to be battling for that 4 and 5 seed. And I actually think that the Knicks end up winning that series in the 4-5 matchup. Indiana is just holding on for dear life for that 6th and final spot. I don't think the play-in game is going to be Miami-Philadelphia. I think that Joel Embiid back, Philly is going to rattle off some wins, and I think they get the number 6 seed. I think that it's going to be Miami and Indiana in the play-in game, and this is familiar territory for Miami. They were the number 8 seed, and they went all the way to the NBA Finals last year. So this is what's going to happen in the East. Miami is going to play Indiana for the 7-8 matchup. I think Miami wins, and they get the number 7 seed. Indiana will await the winner of Atlanta-Chicago. I think Atlanta ends up winning that. So it's Atlanta and Indiana for the number 8 seed. And because Indiana doesn't have Benedict Mathurin, because Atlanta has done this before where they win 2 play-in games and they get into the playoffs, I think the Hawks are going to get the number 8 seed and play the Boston Celtics, a team they faced in the playoffs last year. Then that means you have Miami getting the number 7 seed and playing Milwaukee. Well, a rematch of the 1-8 matchup last year where Miami won. I think Miami ends up upsetting Milwaukee in the first round of the playoffs. Sorry, Bobby Z. Boston taking on Atlanta. I think Boston just manhandles the Hawks. And then the Philadelphia 76ers are going to be a very surprise number 16 because they're taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think with the return of Joel Embiid, you got Tyrese Maxey. I think the Sixers, with their head coach Nick Nurse, who has won a championship with Toronto in 2019, I think that the Philadelphia 76ers get the upset over Cleveland, and then New York beats Orlando. So it's going to be New York and Boston, Miami and Philadelphia. Those are going to be the teams left in the second round of the playoffs, with Boston beating New York and Miami end up beating Philadelphia. So it's going to be Miami-Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, with the Boston Celtics getting revenge from last year and making it to the NBA Finals. Now, over in the West, it's very complicated because right now the Minnesota Timberwolves have the number one overall seed. I don't think that they're going to keep that. I think the Denver Nuggets are going to find a way, although losing to the Clippers last night didn't really help their cause. I think the Nuggets get the number one seed. I think that Minnesota gets the number two seed. Oklahoma City gets the number three seed. Clippers, looks like they're going to be locked into the number four seed. Whoever the Clippers have to face in the second round, that is going to be a very interesting matchup. Dallas is the number five seed. You got Phoenix tied with the New Orleans Pelicans for the number six seed. And it's looking like it's going to be New Orleans and Sacramento in that play-in game, and the Lakers and the Warriors for the 9-10 matchup. So here's what we got. The play-in game is going to be New Orleans and Sacramento. I think that Sacramento ends up winning and getting the number seven seed. New Orleans is going to face the winner of the Lakers-Warriors. I think the Lakers win. They will face the Pelicans for the number eight seed. And that's going to be such an intriguing play-in game between Zion and LeBron. But the Lakers are going to be too much, and they end up getting the number eight seed. So the Western Conference playoffs looks like this. I think the Lakers are going to play the Timberwolves, the 1-8 matchup. This is the matchup they wanted. Karl Anthony Towns should be back for Minnesota. Denver will have the number 2 seed, and they will take on the Sacramento Kings. That just could be a complete mismatch, and the Nuggets might sweep them out of the building. Oklahoma City is going to play Phoenix. I'm not completely sold on the Phoenix Suns, but you get Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal healthy in the playoffs. I'm thinking that there's a 6-3 upset right there. And then the Clippers and the Mavericks, that's going to be such a great series, but I think the Clippers get by the Dallas Mavericks. Although the playoff woes for the Clippers might come back to haunt them. So in the second round, Minnesota, I think they lose to the Lakers. The Lakers pull off the upset. The 8-1 matchup, Denver beats Sacramento. I think that Phoenix beats Oklahoma City, and the Clippers end up beating Dallas. So you got the Clippers-Lakers. Remember, they don't reseed the seeds in the NBA playoffs. Clippers-Lakers second-round matchup, and then Denver and Phoenix. I think the way that Denver beat Phoenix last year, I think that happens again. And then, in probably one of the most epic playoff battles, Kawhi versus LeBron, you got Paul George, you got Russell Westbrook, James Harden, you got all these players for the Clippers, but too much LeBron and AD. I think Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, they all step up in the playoffs, and then we get the rematch of the Western Conference Finals. Lakers, Nuggets, with the Nuggets winning because there's just too much. Too much Jokic, too much Jamal Murray, too much Michael Porter Jr., too much Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And the champions prevail. They make it to the NBA Finals where they take on the Boston Celtics, which I think the Boston Celtics win their 18th title, and they are world champions. There's my NBA prediction for you. Opening day today at Truist Park. You got the Diamondbacks, the defending National League champions, going up against the Atlanta Braves, who right now are 3-2. Not necessarily where they want to be, but Spencer Strider is going to take the mound. And the Atlanta Braves, because of the NL East and how bad they have been, I think that it's going to be a cakewalk for the Atlanta Braves to win the NL East once again. But you look at the landscape of Major League Baseball. Right now, your two top hitters in the National League are Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. You also have Will Smith. I mean, Shohei Ohtani got all that money, and he's not really producing. Mookie Betts looks like he could have an MVP year, batting .485 with 5 home runs and 11 RBIs. And you also have players like Teoscar Hernandez, who's got 4 home runs and 10 RBIs. But looking at Major League Baseball, the Yankees right now, 6-1, their home opener against the Toronto Blue Jays today at Yankee Stadium. Detroit, this is the surprise team. The Detroit Tigers are 5-1. How about that? And the Pirates are 6-1. What does that tell you? These teams that have been bad for years, and this is what the Astros did, and this is how they won the World Series in 2017, even though I probably that World Series should have an asterisk by it. But they build up their farm system through the draft, and they get great major league prospects. They don't have to pay them much, and they start winning. This is what the Kansas City Royals did in 2015, even though I think it was their bullpen that won that World Series. But you got the Tigers and the Pirates. They have been the bottom feeders in Major League Baseball for years, and they are on top, respectively. And there's no surprise that the Dodgers are 7-2. They have the best payroll in baseball. They have probably the most explosive offense right now that is producing. And the Dodgers could just win the regular season, get home field advantage. But I expect them not to do anything in the playoffs because they just don't have pitching past Tyler Glasnow. I mean, Clayton Kershaw is way past his prime. And my San Francisco Giants, so disappointed with them, 2-5. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say about the Giants. NFL offseason. Wow, what a trade. Stephon Diggs going to the Houston Texans. The Buffalo Bills have gutted their roster, which means it's time for Josh Allen to put up or shut up. He needs to produce. I think the Houston Texans could be a sleeper to get to the Super Bowl. Now with Stephon Diggs, C.J. Stroud in year two, D'Amico Ryans, such a great coach. They've got the defense. They've got some pieces that they have added. This is going to be a great team, especially in that division. The Houston Texans should compete in the AFC. The Columbus River Dragons, puck drop tonight, 7:30, taking on the Baton Rouge Zydeco. The River Dragons trying to wrap up home ice throughout the playoffs as the Federal Prospects Hockey League is starting when it comes to the playoffs. Here is some of the events that happened yesterday. High school baseball, the Central Red Devils, they sweep Opelika 4-0 and 3-2. The three-game sweep, they are now 3-0 in the region. Not only are they going to make the playoffs, the Central Red Devils right now 28-1, having an incredible season. Smith Station ends up defeating Auburn 2-1. You heard that game on Georgia-Alabama Sports Live. Great job by Chris Gates once again. Really filling in for me. With me being in New York, I'm not there to call games, but you got guys like Rick Beach from Kutsu Sports and Chris Gates and Thrift Behringer and Noah Shelton, and everybody is just chipping in. And, you know, I miss everybody at Georgia-Alabama Sports Live. I'm so glad that I'm a part of that team. But, you know, taking a family vacation, it's nice to know that you got broadcasters that are stepping up, and Chris just did a phenomenal job last night. Here's what's going on today. LaGrange is taking on Harris County in Hamilton. Glenwood is on the road taking on Deerfield Windsor. Northside is down in Seal, Alabama, taking on Russell County. And this weekend, we got Central taking on Troup County. You got Smith Station on the road taking on Dothan. Chatco is down on the school on the hill taking on Carver. Glenwood is hosting Deerfield Windsor. Abbeville Christian is going to be at Pacelli. And you also have Smith Station hosting Providence Christian. As soon as I get back, don't forget, Thrift Behringer and I will have a Georgia-Alabama Sports Live show. On Tuesday, I plan on being at Kendrick once again for the Kendrick-Jordan game, as the Jordan Red Jackets having a great season, 10-7 after sweeping Northeast. Not only are they 10-7, but it looks like the Jordan Red Jackets are in prime position to make the playoffs. They are 7-4 in their region, currently in third place behind Ace Charter and Rutland. And they have already beaten Rutland, so they could possibly get a number three seed. Maybe some tiebreakers and hosting a playoff game. Who knows? All right, later today at Burger King Field at Ragsdale Stadium, the Columbus State Cougars, they will face South Carolina Beaufort for a three-game series. This is a huge Peach Belt matchup. You might want to check that one out. Scott Miller will have the call on Cougar Radio, the Peach Belt Network. Looking forward to that. And I'm also looking forward to coming back next week talking about the Masters, as we do have some Columbus ties to include Russell Henley that's going to be in the Masters. And that is going to do it here for the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. I want to thank everybody who has supported me and downloaded the podcast and listened to the show on the radio. Been going on 2 years now, and I just want to say it's been a blessing. Now, I hope that you enjoyed the Best Of shows. I'm going to sign off here and play some more Best Of shows for you. Hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday. Bye, everybody.